Welcome to Our Life in Christ and in America, Finding a Balance Between Faith and Politics with host Bill Hinkle.
It's my pleasure again to have Dr. Steve Scirocchi, a mental health professional from New York State. We talked with him last time in regards to our returning veterans, and today we're going to talk briefly about the epidemic of mental illness in America, in particular, what's going on with children. And we've seen multiple shootings in schools and whatnot. I have a friend I served in the legislature with that was actually at Columbine, and the shooting affected him forever and everybody who was there. But as we as Americans and Orthodox Christians look at this phenomenon, the question is, why and now what? What can we do as a church? So, Dr. Scirocchi, thanks for having some time with us today, and can you address this a little bit for us?
Well, the first thing, and I'm also a permanently certified secondary education teacher from grade 7 to 12. So pediatric mental health is something that I really kind of experience on a day-by-day basis when I'm working in schools as well as in the community. And one thing that I'm going to step back as an observer, what has happened to the family? Do we have a family concept of the family anymore? You know, of dad and mom and children. What is that concept? Where is it gone? Or where is it going? The prevalence of divorce, multiple partners, blended families. I don't mean blended families in the old sense where you had perhaps a widow and a widower marrying, and, you know, the kind of happy TV concept of a blended family. Not that.
Right.
There's very, very little contact, and even where you have families, the secular society does not really allow family life to play itself out. But there's so much divorce, so much marriage, so many children out of wedlock, or so many, there's just a lot of going on. And so there's a real identity crisis. And I do not have any children of my own, but I am a godfather, and I am very sensitive to the fact that I need my godchildren, particularly young ones, not adult confirmation ones, not chrismation ones, that's not this, but for younger ones that are either baptism or very, very young chrismation, to be available to them when they need me,
right,
when they need godfather, okay? That's not saying that I'm going to be totally blessing everything they want to do if school marks are not good or they're goofing around or something like that. I'm going to say that, but they know I love them and they love me, okay? That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Part of mental health for children is trust relations, and we all think about this because we're all children and we must become like children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. We all need that discipline, loving discipline, not discipline for its own sake.
It seems like that you're getting at the American family is the disintegration of the American family that seems to be very prevalent. It's, if you do some research, you'll find that very few families sit down even once a week to have dinner together.
Yeah.
And it's such a healing and unifying time. I know when we do it, we're busy too. Of course, my kids are almost gone now, and so when we get them at the house, it's kind of interesting. And we really try to sit them down together, but I think that's one of the just little things that as Orthodox Christians we should be doing, don't you think?
Yes. The value of the family is priceless. It's God's plan. And, you know, God says, I hate divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's trying to think about the mind of our Heavenly Father is very interesting, but he does give us some ideas of his thinking. I mean, obviously it's incomprehensible. But it gives us some ideas.
Right.
You know, in 2 Timothy, St. Paul tells St. Timothy, the spirit is not one of timidity, but of love, power, and sound mind. Okay? Now, God is not nonsense. But in the world's concept, he may be nonsense, because the concept of anything goes, yes, he may be nonsense. It's the way they perceive him. But God doesn't do things just to be bashing us. He has a plan. And one of the disintegration of the family, God hates. He tolerates it. He heals it.
Right.
And it's very important that we understand that from a pastoral perspective.
Right, right.
And dealing, we're going to get to children in a second, but when there are sexual issues that need to be addressed, they need to be counseled. They need to be counseled privately. They should not become public issues.
Hmm.
Group therapy, I love group therapy, but I don't want sexual issues brought into group therapy.
Hmm.
I don't want the whole thing destroyed or contaminated because of that for the individual and for the group. Okay.
Of course.
I prefer when there are sexual issues to be discussed, they be done very, very privately.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the family to get to the children, if there are, sometimes there are things that it's better off that the spouse does not know about.
Hmm.
It just would be too devastating.
Hmm.
We have to use the discernment of the Holy Spirit in times where we realize that what would be the lesser of the two evils.
Yes.
And we need the wisdom of God sometimes when we pray for that.
Amen. Let's talk briefly about children for a minute.
Okay.
We've seen a 35-fold increase in mental illness among children in the last two decades. The CDC actually says that, now this was astounding to me when I read it, because I, as a former paramedic, trauma was always the leading cause of death for children. But now suicide is the third leading cause of death in kids ages 15 to 24. It's not the leader, but it's creeping up there. And I just think this is the saddest thing in the world. And it seems to be the one thing that, as a first responder, as a counselor, as a pastor, the thing that we have such a sense of hopelessness and just frustration, and how could have gotten like this? How do we deal with this? How do we recognize someone who's on the verge of this? This is a struggle, and I know that there's a lot of discussion about this in the press and should be in our church. We have to pay attention. Tell us how we can just do something, you know, in our homes, in our families, in the church. What's our role as individuals?
Well, first of all, in the church, I think that we need to be able to recognize when there are problems in families, pastorally.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the problem that can exacerbate and particularly make the children feel bad is when people start choosing upsides in the parish regarding problems with the children's parents, okay?
Hmm.
I see a lot of people driven away from the church because people get involved in meddling in affairs that they really do not belong. Father has to be very, very stern with that. The children are the most, as a state and as former official of the state, Bill, and a former legislative leader, you understand that the state's primary concern is the welfare of the minor. Okay?
Hmm.
That's primary.
Hmm.
It should also be as far as the church is concerned and our the way we deal with things. We do not want to do anything that is going to damage those children. Sometimes you see things like godparents and aunts and uncles and grandparents bringing the kids to school, to church. That may serve more than one purpose. It actually may serve a relief purpose of getting them out of the house.
Hmm.
And we need to recognize that, okay? If they're in a house that is full of tension, to have grandma or goddad or godmom pick up the kids on Sunday and take them to church, even if they're not getting an awful lot out of it, you're providing a relief from the tension of the house and also providing a loving situation.
Hmm.
Grandma loves those two babies, okay? Even she may not agree with their father and what he's doing or their mother and what he's doing, but she loves them.
Hmm.
We need to understand that the children need a situation where they are loved and there's not tension. They don't feel, A, that they're responsible for what is going on in the house, or B, that they're totally neglected and unloved. We need to feel loved.
Right.
And it's hard for children to feel the love of their God because that concept is too far away.
Hmm. You know, my godfather told me one time that your home needs to be a refuge for your children.
Absolutely.
And
not
a place of... Yeah, not a place of conflict.
Yeah. You understand. So the church needs to understand that the children are most important. You know, Jesus had suffered little children to come unto me. And even the apostles thought that having all these kids growing up to the Lord and wanting to play with them and like that, that it was kind of a burden or something. He said, no, stop. Okay? We need to understand that.
Hmm.
That there, whatever we do, we cannot hurt our children.
Hmm.
And we say we try not to hurt our children, but we fail miserably. Another thing I see is, and I'm glad focus is brought upon this as far as pediatric suicide, is there's a lot of attention now being paid to bullying.
Mm-hmm.
But bullying can take its form in very subtle ways, and I observe this in schools. yes, we'll have all these anti-bullying campaigns. Yet inevitably, I see the kid that's bigger than the other kids being able to push them around. Okay? We need to be careful with that. And teachers, we do not, first of all, teachers cannot become parents. That's not their role. Even though that sometimes that role may be assumed, sometimes out of love, other times out of necessity, but we cannot expect our schools to raise our kids.
Right.
It's a serious problem, particularly our public school system.
Hmm.
And particularly, you can understand it in a seriously urban situation like you would have in Seattle. I did my student teaching in Boston City Schools. In a large urban school system where the children, I guess I'll say something generally about what I saw in Boston. A lot of the kids didn't know who their father was, and some of the ones who did know who their father was wish they hadn't known who he was. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult situation for the kids. It's growing, and it's not only in the cities now where you have all of this kind of stuff. It's spreading everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're looking at what happens with a lot of these really traumatic situations with arms and like that, they're not normally in the cities.
Mm-hmm.
They're in suburban areas, rural areas. What's going on?
Yes.
What do we as the church need to address?
Well,
we just can't give them liturgy. We need to do a lot more than that.
Well, our participation in the life of the church is important. Participating in all the sacraments is important, but most of all, love needs to be an exercise, actual practical exercise. And where you see that in parishes, there's healthiness. And I think if you look at kids, for instance, half of all lifetime cases of mental disorders began before age 14, and yet they're not detected. And who knows? I mean, this is the other thing I've wondered, and I thought I'd ask you about this. We sometimes look at mental illness as strictly a biological thing and ignore the spiritual side of it. And because it gets, into kind of the uncomfortable place of demons and possession and things like that. And what's your experience when you, as you have dealt with young people in particular, as a mental health professional, have you witnessed anything that you felt was beyond just a physical issue or biological issue and really entered into demon possession?
Yes. Let me state this, okay? Demonic possession, I want to be careful, but where you have a lot of sexuality, that's where you can get into that,
mm-hmm.
okay? Almost compulsion, okay? Also things that are mind-altering, like drug abuse and things like that, okay? When people are saying they're hallucinating, but what are they taking? They're taking some sort of hallucinogenic to do it. Obviously, that's not a real vision, okay? There's an awful lot of room because the demons can get into the mind, okay? I want to be very, very careful with that. But I do want to say that there are times where there is a spiritual element that we really need to address. And particularly where you have these kind of problems.
Yes.
They look for opportunity. Remember what happened when the demons were expelled from the demoniac, and they said, well, can we go into the pigs? And they went into the pigs, and then the pigs went and jumped in the water, and they drowned themselves, okay?
Right.
The demons are looking for places to go. Now, that doesn't mean we have to also understand one thing, that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit is far more powerful than any demon, okay? They can't even touch his power. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons they are the demons is because they tried to sit on the throne of God. They tried to say they were like him, but they're not, okay? We have to understand that. We have to understand the power of the Holy Spirit and being able to address these issues. But there's times where we have to ask him to specifically address them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That if there is a demonic force involved in what is going on in here, Lord, show us what to do or do it through us, or just do it. Okay.
The sign of the cross.
Yeah.
The sign of the cross is a great weapon. Do you, I'm just curious, as I'm sitting here thinking, what it's like when you enter into a room and with a therapy situation or just an evaluation as a mental health professional, Do you ever do the sign of the cross when you walk in the door or something like that? I mean, are there any little practices that you do that are an expression of faith and dependence on God before you start your work?
Well, I may quietly say a little prayer, Lord, help me with this or show me what's going on with this. Discernment is a very important part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, being able to figure out what's going on. Or asking the Holy Spirit to show, you know, to give us clues, Lord, what's going on here? What do you want us to do, if anything? Okay? I don't want to do something that's not going to be of any value, but also don't want to do something that's going to make it worse. Okay? And that requires prayer.
Of course.
And we're human. You know, I remember talking about this whole situation of suicide. And I remember doing, attending a, there was a person that a group of people were dealing with that actually committed suicide. And after we all had to go through a kind of a process to basically work it through, okay?
Yes.
It's very difficult to deal with our faults and failings, or the fact that no matter how we're trying to do something, we may not be doing anything wrong, but something bad is going to happen.
Right.
And that's very hard for us, as you know. When I worked in Alcoholism at Ellis Hospital, at the end of the day, we would always have a session among the therapists. And I was just starting in my therapy career then, so I was the baby. And so I was beloved, but I also was the one that needed the most. I was also the one that was the neediest. Okay? And we were in a group situation, and I remember this, where I really had a very, very rough day. And some of them were really getting on my case. And after when we went and we had our session together, and it's wonderful to have sessions together. It's just absolutely wonderful. They said, the session today is going to be about you. And they're pointing right at me.
Mm.
Okay. And they really helped me blow out everything that went on in that room.
Mm.
They did not want me going home feeling bad. When I was a probation officer, I saw things where people would, and I did have youthful offenders as well. I had my screen cut on my apartment. I would have things that would seem to be bizarre that would be happening to me, because some people honestly did not like the role that I was playing, but I never felt it was invalid as to what I was doing. But I needed to be able to blow things on myself. And we cannot do, you know, our Lord, when he talked about ministry and even dealing with him and dealing with our young people, go out in groups of two. Always have a fellowship. Always have somebody that you can run something off with, particularly if you're dealing with kids. And if things are going wrong in dealing with them, talk about them to each other, in confidence for sure.
Right.
But where you have two people that are working together and one of them may not even be known by the other person that they're actually being, you know, used as a means of just being able to work in therapy. But therapists that tend to work on their own, sooner or later are going to undergo some very, very serious problems. When I graduated from Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, Dr. Barry Black, who was chaplain for the United States Senate, turned to the doctoral candidates for graduation, and it basically told us not to take ourselves very seriously, and he said there would be crisis periods, and the first one would arise about 2 years after you receive your doctorate, and guess what? He hit the target. He was right.
Yeah.
So we have to realize that we need a reinforcement of ourselves, particularly if we're dealing with children because they're so fragile.
Right, right.
We cannot do it on our own, and we must realize that we cannot do anything that's going to make the situation for the children worse. We also have to recognize when intervention is needed for children, not only from a legal perspective. As mental health counselors, teachers, we have a legal responsibility if we suspect something is happening to the children to report it. Now, that can become very bureaucratic, you know what I'm saying, okay? But we need to be able to recognize that there is intervention needed in this child before something is worse. And self-bullying is one thing I think that we really have to watch out for. The little guy that everybody seems to be pushing around in school can be very, very fragile, and he may need to just lash out.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. I think part of the frustration that kids have is they're thrown into a social structure at schools that there's nothing similar to in the real world. It's almost like a prison culture, and I'm not trying to overstate that, but it's only found in schools where, at least in the intensity that it is, I think it's really amazing to watch how we've seen this bullying increase. I'm not sure that it didn't happen when we were kids too, but it seemed like people stepped up and got in the middle of it and didn't allow things to go on until there was something crazy going on. And a lot of it too is the kids can't come home and talk to their parents about it. I guess this is all the reason why I brought this up is that the church is really supposed to be a spiritual hospital for us, and that helps us in the curing of our soul, so that we, as parents and as growing children, feel like there's a place where we get help and where we can acknowledge and deal with some of these trials and craziness that's in front of us every day. I don't know about you, but I'm working in a big city, and there's not a day that passes that I don't see the craziest things in the world. And if I didn't have the church to go to, if I didn't have that place of peace and a spiritual well, as it were, with a pastor who really feels a responsibility to care for my soul, I think that's what is so great about the church. It's what's needed in our clergy to have that attitude of being a helper.
One thing about the Antiochian House of Studies that you and I love so much, because it's so much a part of our lives.
Right.
Pittsburgh Theological Seminary is actually a seminary of the Presbyterian Church of the USA.
Mm-hmm.
The Eastern Christian Focus, which I graduated from, is a combination of the Presbyterian Church of the USA and the Antiochian Greek Orthodox Patriarchate of Antioch and all the East, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Having some of the Protestants are very good at pastoral ministry. We can learn an awful lot about that.
Hmm.
And I will tell you, I strongly benefited from Lutherans, from Episcopal Renewal Services, from the Reformed tradition, which have ultimately produced my doctorate. We can learn an awful lot about that, you know, counseling groups like Samaritan Counseling and things like that, where they're looking at things from a Christian perspective. Some churches, particularly conservative ones, not necessarily fundamentalistic ones, but conservative ones, will have a counseling component to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Where they'll have somebody who is trained and experienced, where you can basically go in and talk to about anything. What a wonderful ministry that is. Mm-hmm. I think we miss an awful lot about having office hours where father or deacons or people in the church and lay ministry that are qualified in areas like this can just learn.
Right.
I went outside of State Capitol in Albany, and I'll tell you this last year, because I still work a few months affiliated with the state. The Episcopal Cathedral, which is right outside, the Catholic Cathedral is on one side of the Capitol in Albany, and the Episcopal Cathedral is on the other side. About lunchtime, some women from the Episcopal Cathedral will just come out in front, and they'll put a table down, and they'll pray with you about anything you want to pray about.
Hmm.
Wow. What a witness, and I will tell you this, what a refreshing ministry to me.
Hmm.
And I told them that I'm preparing for the diaconate, and they really, really lift that up. And just to have people to pray with and listen to,
mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And for these kids, I see in one of the high schools that I teach in, they have a prayer group. And one of the things about the Supreme Court, I'm glad that they did, was they ruled that if you're going to have all these secular groups in school after school, you have to be able to have religious ones as well. You can't discriminate against the religious ones. The kids posted up a sign that says prayer group meeting after school on such and such a day.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. They're dealing with mental health. They're letting the Holy Spirit deal with it.
Hmm.
What a way to deal with mental health. There's no better way.
Well, thanks, Steve.
You've been listening to Our Life in Christ and in America with Bill Hinkle. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.